This is a
Vocaloid.org
podcast.
Are you recording this? Oh, this is a mic. I'm sorry.
Hello, Gary. Do you read Gary?
We're looking for Gary.
Copy, please, Gary.
Yeah, this is Concrete Penguin calling out.
Gary, you out there, Gary?
Are you there, Gary?
Where's Gary?
Has anyone seen Gary?
Well, the thing about Gary, Indiana, at first that I noticed, I was so occupied elsewhere because I had to use the bathroom. So I was just like, oh, really, really interesting, but oh, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then we stopped there, and then you were inside for a while, and I kind of began to put the pieces together of what it was that was off-putting about the city. And not off-putting as in a way I didn't like it, but off putting in a way of I was trying to figure out what it was that was foreign to me or didn't make sense. And I think what it was that it reminded me of a lot of former industrial New England towns where you'll have the infrastructure of like the shops and the sidewalks, and there might be like abandoned street furniture and everything. And everything is kind of like laid out in a way that is really like logical and welcoming to a lot of pedestrian activity, but there wasn't any. And it also seemed like it was sort of in this time warp, because there were a lot of displays at the stores that were very dated. And so it had this feeling of an abandoned town from like 1970. And I guess the culminating point of that was when we saw the Jackson 5 marquee at that theater. The Jackson 5 sign was really interesting because I have this like love for Jackson 5. And growing up, we used to watch the Jackson 5 cartoon. So when I saw that marquee, at first, when I looked at it, it didn't make sense to me because we were driving to the KFC, I think like we saw it in the distance, and it had said Jack and Ive White or something like that. And I think one of the letters on the marquee was off kilter, and so it was kind of like hanging at the bottom. So I felt like I was playing Wheel of Fortune. And it was like that part when Vanna White has to, like, you know, like you guess like the letter is, and then Vanna White turns them around and you win or you don't. But what it's supposed to have said in my mind was Jackson 5 tonight. And then when I was hanging out waiting for you at the KFC, I was kind of like, oh, wait a minute. Like, Michael Jackson hit his solo career in like 79. And that was when he had his first musical video, and I think I learned one time on VH1, I think that was like one of the first music videos, and it was the one where he's dancing around and they show the pictures of his feet, and it's like he's kind of like floating in this like black space of Technicolor. And I just thought, like, wow, that's a long time ago. Like, has it been out there that long? Have they had some kind of reunion tour in the early 80s? Did the town shut down before that happened, like before, you know, he had his solo career? Because that's like before I was born, and I'm 26, so that's 28 years ago that sign has been hard to read, falling apart marquee.
The night that Dillinger escaped from the Crown Point jail, you don't know that story, all right? Dillinger was a well-known hoodlum. They finally killed him in Chicago at one of the Rialto Theater, I think it was, something like that. And I had a date with one of the engineers from WIND. We went to the Palace Theater, and when the show was out, of course, we went by bus because cars were kind of a a luxury, really. It was in the early 30s, right after the Depression of 29. So we couldn't catch the bus. We'd missed it by a few minutes. So the station itself was in the bank building at 5th and Broadway. So he said, well, let's go up and wait there, because it was an hour for the next bus. So when we got up there, all had broken loose because of this monumental escape from the Crown Point jail by this real well-known hoodlum Dillinger. And the guy that was on duty needed to go to Crown Point, and would my date take over the Ford? And he said yes. And then he looked at me and said, but what about you? I said, well, I can't go home till the next bus. And he said, well, maybe by that time it'll break. I went down into the kind of a little area and sat down, went to sleep. The next thing I knew, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. Now I'm practically a high schooler. You're not really allowed out that late. But another engineer came on and he brought me home. So the next morning, Mother was in the kitchen when I came downstairs, and I said, did you hear me come home? She said, no. What time did you come home? I said, well, it was 4 o'clock this morning. She said, what? So I told her what happened, and she said, well, you're all right. And I said, oh, yes, I'm fine. But that was a big deal in those days to have a man break out of the Crown Point jail.
Was about the prettiest theater we had in Gary at that time.
What was nicer about it was like the red carpet?
They had nice carpet. The entrance had a lot of designs in it. The outside had that marquee. There's none like it. The marquee was resembled the one for the Chicago Theater back then, 50 years ago. And then the Grand was right across the street, and the comparison was like, with none whatsoever, like a Volkswagen and a Cadillac. I've been living in Gary's since 1945, and my late wife and I used to go there on Sundays back in the 50s after we leave church. We had to go to church so we could go to the Palace Theater and at that time and see whatever shows were on. And that was almost every Sunday.
Did they even have cartoons on?
No, we didn't see the cartoons much at the Palace. That was more of the better movie shows.
That was more like Roy Rogers.
But they didn't show a lot of cowboys, I don't think, at the Palace back then. It was more of the love stories and more of the...
It was a theater that you would bring a date for then, more than it would be just a... come in and watch a movie. It was kind of like, this is where you're going to get your big move going.
It was a nice place to go, and you felt comfortable there, and it was a very nice place, and it was attractive. At that time, back then, it was one of the prettiest shows in town.
Hello, Gary. Do you read Gary?
We're looking for Gary.
Copy, please, Gary.
Has anyone seen Gary?
So when you go in these buildings, like, how do you get in? I mean, imagine that the front door isn't just open. It's not like they're inviting people to walk inside, right?
Well, I want to be careful how I phrase this. I don't go into any building, basically, that I can't just walk in. As far as getting into the buildings in Gary, Indiana, I would have to honestly say that, yeah, most of them are wide open. Most of those buildings, they're in such a state of disrepair that if there's not a window or a door, there's almost guaranteed to be a massive hole or some sort of other entrance where you can basically just walk in. It was a very bright day, so the first thing you do when you walk in is it's just pitch black, and even the flashlights, it takes a while for your eyes to adjust. And I remember walking in, and basically standing at the stage side looking out, and as my eyes come into focus, just massive hulking, you know, theater, and looking from the stage angle up towards the seats and just realizing how gigantic this place is.
How gigantic is it? Can you try and describe it?
Well, I guess I've read it's 2,500 to 3,000 seats, but it was, you know, typical, I guess, of the large movie theaters of the day where they were just, you know, single balcony that would hold, you know, a large amount of the crowd and then the seats. But the part that to me that made it look even larger was that just about all the seats have been torn out, so you're just seeing this big open space where, you know, you walk into a theater, you got seats, you know, you're kind of the, it kind of breaks up everything. But just seeing it and wondering, you know, where did everything go? You know, a lot of them are there, but a lot of them are gone.
So, but what kind of shape is stuff in? Like, had it been well preserved, or was it pretty messed up?
Unfortunately, that theater is pretty much destroyed, in my opinion. There's very little plaster work left. The roof has gaping holes, and the last few times that I'd been there, the holes just seemed to be getting larger and larger. All the wire framing for the plaster is bare, basically, and coming down on its own. I went up to the, you know, projection booth, the balconies, and it's really, like I said, just beyond saving, in my opinion. It's just so trashed. There's no railings. The stairs are very dangerous. I would guess that from what I saw, the way some of the materials were piled up, that somebody was trying to salvage and possibly save some of the plaster work. There is a spot in the front lobby, you know, where you'd come in and buy your ticket, where there was actually some sizable chunks of the plaster still there, and seeing how the colors and how it was painted, and, you know, seeing some little just fraction of what it would have looked like, you know, while it was still in operation, even though it would have been towards the end and they might have done some cheesier type of repairs or paint jobs, just trying to get an idea of what it would have looked like and what it would have been like to go there and see a show.
So did you take anything from the theater? Do you ever take stuff from buildings?
No, I didn't. There's really nothing to take from the Palace Theater. The thing I noticed in Gary is there's really nothing to take from any of those buildings. They've been abandoned for so long that basically everything significant's been taken. In fact, a good example is that there's a hotel, actually, that encompasses the outside of the theater, I think the second and third story. And because the theater's in such a state of disrepair, you can walk through holes in the walls to get into the hotel side or apartment building side. Every single door, and there's just dozens and dozens of apartments, all the doorknobs and lock sets have been cut out. I mean, you could tell somebody went in there and sawed them all out. Bigger pieces of, you know, limestone carvings or whatever people have helped themselves to. The church, City Methodist Church, is a good example of that, where there was just gigantic limestone carvings, and you can see where a lot of them have been taken, and others that are just so huge, people tried to get them out of the building, and they couldn't quite get them out, so they just left them, you know, in the middle of a hallway or, you know, top of a staircase or whatever.
What was the real reason they closed the palace then? Was it just,
well,
the structural?
Just like
the water?
The downtown didn't have the business, I guess, and all the theaters, they were down to one or two, and the palace was one of the last ones. Then they remodeled it, and it only had special shows. I remember they had the Jackson 5 there. That was a special show a long time ago. The Marquis stayed up for years, on the Marquis for years after that show, because that
was a live show.
A live special show after the theaters had closed, but they had remodeled and opened it up, and that was one of the few shows that was there.
Then after they remodeled, they started doing theater then.
That didn't last too long because the downtown just wasn't...
Just tried something new and it couldn't hook it, huh?
Well, the whole downtown, you see what it is
now
compared to what it was then.
People too scared to go down.
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much scared. It's just the stores moved out. Everybody went to Maryville, the shopping malls. You know, they had malls outside of the city. And everybody was going to the malls. And that's where it was. Because I remember fellas I worked with years ago, Thursday nights and Monday nights, they knew their parents were going to take them downtown Gary for shopping. Crown Point was the county seat, but Gary was the center.
Hello, Gary. Do you read Gary?
We're looking for Gary.
Copy. This is Gary.
Yeah, this is...
The reason they have the sign up that says Jackson 5 tonight, it's not like that's been around since the early 70s. That actually came in the late 1990s. It's been around for about 8 or 9 years since the Miss USA competition came to Gary. Donald Trump, when he owned the casino there, he also owns the rights to the Miss USA pageant, which is kind of like the sort of semi-poor cousin of the Miss America pageant that was originally held in Atlantic City. And as part of the deal, actually, for Trump to get the casino license, he agreed to bring the pageant there for 2 years to the Genesis Center in Gary, Indiana, which is just down the block from the Palace Theater, and it's just down the block from Broadway, where you see all of those abandoned buildings. Before the pageant came in, there was a sort of a sprucing up effort. Couldn't actually get businesses in there, but they went through and they painted a lot of the storefronts, put up marquees.
So to prepare for the pageant, they were trying to spruce up Broadway.
Right.
By, like, making it look like there was actually activity and life and color to these buildings
that
were actually pretty much shut down.
Well, you had all these contestants that were going up and down Broadway. There were actually no hotels in Gary, especially at the time, so there was no place for them to really stay in Gary, but they did go in and out of the Genesis Center there, which is right across from City Hall, and you did have camera crews coming in, so you needed something, I suppose, to make it look like, you know, something was going on there.
So wait, there's no hotels in Gary?
There is a hotel now. There's a hotel that was built by Trump and the casino, and that's really it.
But there weren't any hotels at the time?
No, there were no hotels at the time. I think the Interstate Motel along 20 was the last motel in Gary. There are no movie theaters at this point in Gary.
There's none at all?
There are none at all. Crossroads was the last one that, way down on Broadway, close to Maryville, it closed a couple of years ago. The chain that owned it, I think, went under, and then there was a private operator for a little while, but then they went under as well. There are no major supermarket chains in Gary either. You know, there, other than sections of Miller and close to Maryville border, there's not a tremendous amount of economic activity going on in Gary. It's quite a turnaround case.
Production by Robin Amer. Additional production by Adam Yaffe and Tom Herman. Thanks to Dorothy Fennell, Laura Jones, Mr. Matthews, Eugene Pollack, and Steve Walsh. To subscribe to this or other podcasts, go to vocalo.org.